Obviously, gold has sort of backstopped that, but we've performed well. However, we're still, when you look at sort of PNAV, that way of valuing developers against their market capitalization against the project value, we still sit very much down in the lower quartile of developers, and we're still slowly getting that recognition. I think people see risk in permitting, not unreasonably. People see risk in this company. Can they actually raise the money? Can they take it through? And I think as we keep the narrative going, as we demonstrate technical movement, as the feasibility study comes in, as we commit to the detailed engineering, as we get drill results which demonstrate continued growth of the resource, I think that builds both of those pieces, the resource side and the team confidence.
John Gilligan, Liberty Gold, good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm well, Andy. Thank you very much. I'm here in the Boise office and delighted to talk to you again.
Yeah, well, it's very the pleasure's all mine. It's great to have you on. And just it's really impressive. You're flying around not only around the world to preach the gospel about Liberty Gold, but you're on site. You're on site and now you're in Boise. You're really hands-on. Tell me about what you got going on, but specifically permitting. I think that's such a huge differentiator with Liberty Gold and what you guys got going really with Fast41.
Yeah, thank you, Kirandy. Look, I had the privilege of coming back to site. I was here on site yesterday. We had an operating review on site. We took around some of the Centerra folk. As you know, Centerra is a strategic partner, so we have a bi-monthly technical meeting with those guys. And so we were on site for that meeting, and we took one of their new folk around the site. Reaffirming, I think, their views of the of what the opportunity is. And of course, you've recently visited site, so you'll have your own sense of the sort of scale and setup that we have there, along with the people. And from site, I've come here to Boise to the office. We're having technical review sessions today and tomorrow, looking at the operability of the feasibility study. So you do a design, and then you sit down with some smart folk, and we've brought in three kind of specialist consultants who've got operations experience, maintenance experience, and then mine operations, and then processing experience. And you go through all of those designs. Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? How's the water draining from the wash pond? Have all of those questions, so that when you get all that into feasibility, you end up with a credible plan, a credible design, and most importantly, a credible cost estimate. So we're in that piece right now, which is exciting. Also based out of Boise is Matt Ziegler, who's our VP of Permitting and External Affairs, to your question about permitting. So we also have, taking advantage of being here, he and I get together, and he and I generally go and see some of the state permitting folks, some of the state regulators, and we have a sort of a regular contact with them, just to make sure that they know what's going on and that they get the opportunity to ask me any questions, which allows sort of varying levels of communication. To your specific question about permitting, as you know, we got into the Fast41 program as a covered program. That ended with us publishing our updated permitting timeline in March, late March of this year, which by the government's or by the federal government's sort of agreed schedule gets us to final record of decision in January 2028. And I think even more importantly, inside that process, the federal process, the state agencies aligned with that federal timetable. So we have a commitment, obviously, from the federal agencies to meet that, but we've also got a commitment from the state agencies to meet that same January 20, 2028 timeframe. And, the importance of that is it allows us now to really do some definitive construction planning, construction scheduling, essentially based on a February, March start in 28, which gets us to the end of 28, going into 29 as a full year of production. So exciting times for permitting and exciting times for the technical team.
Yeah, and let me comment a little bit about permitting to all my viewers and listeners. We referenced Matt. I spent a full day Or I should say, I spent the full day on site at Liberty Gold at Black Pine, and then I spent several hours with Matt. Number one, great guy, and number two, as important is great expertise in getting this through to the finish line. I couldn't say enough about that. And the thing is that it's such a differentiator from an investor. And to all my viewers and listeners, I am an investor, and Liberty Gold is a sponsor to natural resource stocks. Just a full disclosure on that, but I. Investing companies that are air quotes in permitting hell is what I call it. And what you guys have done in Fast 41, it just makes it all transparent and you can see where everything is and where everything's going. And you also have the state and federal governments talking to each other. I don't want to say talking, but seeing and aligning, as you pointed out, with each other, which is, I think, is crucial. Comment just a little bit more about that.
So Andy, you're absolutely right. They are actually talking. I mean, the Fast 41 process creates regular sort of permitting group meetings where you have in the same room the Fast 41 guys, the federal agency, and the state agency. And there's a sort of a reporting where the federal agencies talk about their particular piece, both in our case, the Bureau of Land Management and the forest. And as you know, the forest the lead agency here. And then the state guys not only listen to how the federal agencies are progressing, but they also report in for their own piece. And look, it's a two-way street. We are obviously present at those meetings as well. And we have calls from the agencies to provide information, and there's a timeline for us to play our part in. And obviously, we have to be responsible in that way. We have to provide information at the right time so that the agencies, both federal and state, can have their time frame to review and advise and ask questions. So it really is a sort of a three-way piece between us, the proponent, the state, and the federal agencies, all kind of umbrella overarched by the by Fast 41 oversight.
Yeah, and you just said a key word. Well, I'll say it. You didn't say this, but I'll say it holds you guys accountable, correct? Because you have the deadlines you need to meet, and
Definitely.
it just beyond me. I wish more companies would do this, and perhaps they haven't. It's not perhaps not. They don't have the opportunity to yet to have it. But you guys are really groundbreaking in doing this process. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, you know, you're right, Andy. And the other thing, you mentioned it yourself, all of that schedule, that our new revised permitting schedule is available online on the US Government Permitting Council website, with the individual milestones listed on their website. And any of your readers can log on to that and see where we are in the milestones and whether we made a milestone or whether we didn't. So there's really good transparency there. And we've crossed, obviously, we got our notice of intent. That was in April the 2nd. That started the NEPA permitting process, which really is to write the EIS, the environmental impact statement. And that's the main document that sort of details what's going to happen and how what are the impacts and what are the controls. So the public scoping period, that's the first piece that happens directly after the after you receive your notice of intent. That was a 30-day period. We had two public meetings, a virtual meeting and an in-person meeting. The in-person meeting was in Malta, Idaho, which is about 30 miles north of the project. And also, the general public can submit, anyone can submit written comments on the mine plan, and we received 55 specific comments, written comments. And you know, from those comments, the federal agencies review the comments, and then they feed those back to us. And if the member of a public has a suggestion about noise or about road access or about, you know, I don't like the building there, could you move it over here because from a visual perspective it's better. And so we receive that input, and we work that into the environmental impact study process so that when we publish the draft EIS, the draft environmental impact statement, and that's due in early Q1 next year, you demonstrate that you've taken that input and you've done something with it. And so that's the NEPA process, and we're in that right now.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. And again, I wish you guys are trailblazers. So congratulations to Liberty
Thank
Gold
you.
on that. And again, hopefully this is a process that more companies will take advantage of that are for their investors. Let's talk a little bit about what you got on deck about your current drill program. You have this huge resource and it's in a great jurisdiction, and but you're drilling some more. You're continually looking to expand it to add shareholder value. But talk to me about that and what you got coming on here in the summer and the fall.
Yeah, so Andy, with the sale of our or the cleanup of our non-core assets, as you'll remember, we sold Goldstrike earlier this year to Heliostar in April, and that's put some significant funds into treasury. With that money, we are now fully funded to go all the way through this year and next year to get to a construction decision. Importantly, it's given us some additional funds to put some more money into the drill bit. So we announced recently the 40,000 meter drill program that's currently in place. We've got two rigs on site and
I've
two
seen the
more.
rigs.
Yeah, you have. Well, there's two more arriving over the next 6 weeks. And that drilling is largely focused on what I would call pre-production assurance. So the areas that we mine, the specific areas that we mine in the first 2 to 3 years of operations, and that's the payback period, we drill that out from indicated to measured. So we infill drill, and that improves the quality and the confidence of the tons and grade and the metallurgical characteristics of that material. And that de-risks that initial production period to the maximum extent reasonable and feasible. So that's our main focus. Second piece is we have some what we call permitting compliance drilling, where you're required to demonstrate the areas where you're building infrastructure. You're required to demonstrate whether there's mineral potential or not in those areas and what does that mean, so that's part of the permit process. And then thirdly, when we did the drilling on the legacy heap, when we found that there's mineralization in the legacy heap, you may remember we said, well, one of the options for that is to use that material as overliner. Now, we're still doing some of the test work. It's clear that that material could be used for that, but we haven't finished those tests. So we're now looking for another alternative just in case it doesn't make the grade. And we're drilling out the surface waste dumps. These are waste dumps from the 90s. And of course, we're finding that that material, in fact, is ore grade today. It's not waste rock at all. And it's on the surface and it's broken, and we have to move it anyway. So there's a drill program to drill that out to a resource. And then we will do the appropriate test work to see if we can then crush it and use that as overliner as an option, either with the heap or instead of the heap. And then the final, that's number three, the fourth piece in the drill program is some infill and step out drilling in the margins of the existing resource where we know we've got high grade sticking into those resource walls, and we want to chase that down and sort of figure out where that goes so we can really align the geometry of those pits. And then inside that same kind of exploration piece, we want to do some step out in the broader area to start looking, well, where's the next growth opportunity for this resource? We've got lots of really good targets, and we're going to start cautiously doing that.
Yeah, you know about that, and again, I was out on site, and I'm going to be use some hyperbole here. I mean, when I was there, I picked up a rock, and I was talking to your G head geo, Pete, and I was like, "Is there gold here?" He goes, "Yeah, there's gold there," and using a hyperbole, I mean, there's gold everywhere. I was there; it's everywhere, and it sounds like you have a really good problem in the sense it's not a problem, but it's like, where do you put things because you want to put it in the best spot where you don't have as much resource, correct?
Well, yeah, Andy, let me tell you a sort of a fact. There's roughly 3,500 drill holes on the property, right?
You
Between
guys have
us, I
drilled the
think.
heck out of it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we've done about 1,400 holes, 1,300, and then previously it was around about 2,000 drilled. And of course, they're centered on these mineralized centers, but they're also in the broad area. I think of those 3,500, there are less than 100 holes that have no gold in it, like literally no gold. All of the others have gold at some intercept above current cutoff grades. And so, as we said, this is a very large, a thick pile of rock that's had all these fluids flow through it, and it's mineralized and it's created these sort of mineralized centers, but it's deposited lower grade gold throughout this entire rock mass, and it's really hard. to drill a hole that doesn't have gold in it, which is a lovely problem to have.
Right. Yeah, it really is. And again, I seeing is believing. I was there and I was just so impressed with the just the scope, the scale of the project, and then just yeah, seeing is believing, just picking up a rock. So yeah, there's gold there. And then again, where are you gonna put this? Well, yeah, we're gonna put it there unless there's a lot of gold there. So I was talking to Susie a little bit earlier, and it was a great talk, and you know, just and I hope she doesn't mind that I say this, but just the transformation of Liberty Gold, just going from a small cap explorer. And now, you know, just looking at your share price going up significantly, but I think that's indicative of just you becoming a mine, and also you putting in all these processes because now this is real, right? But talk to a little bit more to address a little bit like investors who think they've missed the boat here, because again, you guys have had a great run. I think that's indicative of the work that you've done, but the best is yet to come. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, look, Andy, I really agree with that. I'm really proud of the company and of the team. I think if you look back a year from now, from today, and you look at the company sort of in the second quarter of 25, we were still a sort of an explorer discoverer with a fantastic asset. We had a PFS. I think we were sort of looking for direction, and the market was kind of looking to us to say, well, you know, where are you guys going? And then you know, Susie was instrumental in crafting a narrative and a conversation where I think we had the opportunity to really tell the actual story of Black Pine to investors. And we started in earnest doing that in June. We took it cautiously. You can't just pivot a company from very successful explorer discoverer and say, okay, now we're developers and builders. You got to do that sensibly and reasonably and maintain credibility. We did that gently. We built the team. You've now met many of the team. That took a little while. You know, by the end of 25, I think we'd had that solid team in place. We built permitting expertise, and I think we've been slowly building that narrative. And there's two pieces to the narrative. I think one, the key piece for me is really what is Black Pine, the size, the scale, the dimension, the opportunity, and the upside. I think we've started to tell that story, which is kind of what I picked up 5 years ago when I had the opportunity to join. I looked at the map, I said, this is a gold mine. This is absolutely a gold mine. And, you know, we got to walk the journey to get there. And, you know, we're now, I think, I won't say charging down the road, but we're moving very deliberately, very, very clearly about what we need to do to get to the next step. So I think we've done that communication story well. And then we've built the team and we've done the technical work that gives, I think, us, our team, the credibility to say, well, actually, these guys can probably do it. So you've got that sort of recognition of a great asset and that sort of understanding that, hey, this is a team that perhaps actually can do it. And so we've got to demonstrate that to investors. We've got to go on building trust. And I think what you've seen in the share price is some of that understanding. Obviously, gold has sort of backstopped that. But you know, we've performed well. However, we're still, when you look at sort of PNAV, that way of valuing developers against their market capitalization against the project value, we still sit very much down in the lower quartile of developers, and we're still slowly getting that recognition. I think people see risk in permitting, not unreasonably. People see risk in this company. Can they actually raise the money? Can they take it through? And I think as we keep the narrative going, as we demonstrate technical movement, as the feasibility study comes in, as we commit to the detail engineering, as we get drill results which demonstrate continued growth of the resource, I think that builds both of those pieces, the resource side and the team confidence. And I see us migrating in that sort of developer space from an undervalued developer, if you like, to a well-valued developer. And once we get to the point where we start building this thing, that rise and opportunity in re-rate to become a producer is a significant re-rate, or expected a significant re-rate from where we are now. You know, I think we remain a compelling opportunity in the market, in the developer space, in this particular size and scale of opportunity. So I'm excited for the company and I'm excited for the future growth.
Yeah, and you should be. Before we leave, what should investors be paying attention to really over the next, let's give it through the summer and then take me through to the fall. Why should they be paying attention to you? What news that you can comment on that you might have be dropping?
Excuse me. Yeah, so exciting. I think we've got, funnily enough, Susie and I were just going through this literally about half an hour ago, and we've got a number of sort of press releases kind of in the works. Obviously we're drilling, so we're going to have some drill results over the next 6 months. We'll bring those out. Some of those are kind of will be the infill, I think, will really demonstrate the quality of the mineralization early on. Some of that compliance work won't show a lot of mineralization, but it'll show that we're doing that right kind of work. We've got some interesting results coming out from the bulk metallurgical columns, which I think will go a long way to demonstrate the viability of a run of mine leaching. So that's going to be coming out. We've got obviously the feasibility study itself is, we've said that's October. I'd love to get that out earlier, but we're focusing on October. You never know. Watch this space, Andy. We'll see if we can do that. But that's the main focus. And we've got a number of sort of engineering milestones that we're working on that I think will also demonstrate this sort of credibility in terms of building the path to be able to actually build it. And one example would be putting orders down for long lead items, particularly electrical. You and I have had this conversation. If you're going to actually build something, you got to get your order in for your power transformers 18 months, even 2 years ahead. And if we are serious about meeting the schedule that we've talked about, which is a 28 build, mid to late 26 is not too early to get your order in for your power transformer to install in 28. And if you flip that on its head, if companies are saying they're going to build in a certain year and they're not telling you that they're putting in these long leads, there's a question about, are they really serious? And so we're serious about this, and we're following that track. So exciting times over the next 6 months for the company, for sure.
Fantastic. And let me just say this. I want to give a shout out to the entire team. I'll start with Susie again. She keeps you in line and me in line.
Yes,
So
she
shout
does.
out to
Yes,
her.
she does. Absolutely, she does. So thank you for
You're very welcome, but
that.
also shout out to I just want to, I hope I don't forget any of the names. I met with Tyler. He was
That's
the
right,
operations
VP
engineering.
Projects. Yep.
Yes, very fantastic guy and just very talented individual. Matt, very talented and very knowledgeable in getting you permitted. Just shout out to Matt. And then two people that really stuck out. They all stuck out, but Beth, Elizabeth, just with your relationships within the community there, you could really see that this she's from there. These are her people, and just
Yeah.
couldn't think more highly of her. And then Pete, I called him Indiana Jones in another video. He really is his treasure hunter, but somebody I really enjoyed spending time with and getting to know. Very knowledgeable, very talented individual. So shout out to all of them. John, if people want to do more due diligence about you, how do they find you? What exchanges are you traded on? And what are your tickers?
Andy, we're our website. We're available on the website. Obviously, all the information that is libertygold.ca is our website. We're traded on the TSX main board. We were delighted to celebrate 15 years trading on the TSX main board a few weeks ago, and there's a LinkedIn post about that where we got to shut down the close down the I think a
I
Monday
saw it.
afternoon it was. That was kind of exciting. I haven't done that before. And we're also listed on the OTC under LGD.TF.
Excellent. I'll put
And
all of
of
this.
course, info@libertygold.ca is our email address, and your readers can send us any comments or requests for information to that email, and we'll be delighted to talk to them.
Yeah, I will put all of this in the show notes, both on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify podcast. John, it's always a pleasure. Love to see you again, maybe sometime this summer, and get an update.
We'd be delighted to do that, Andy. I think we're looking forward to the feasibility. I think I've said on a number of occasions, we're trying to be a company that goes from that sort of PEA, the initial economics, to PFS, to feasibility in a positive trajectory, not a negative trajectory. And I'm excited to show shareholders to and future investors our take on that. So watch this space, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm very honored and happy to be on the journey with you guys. So I appreciate that. All the best, and well, let's talk to you soon.
Fantastic. Us too, Andy. Great to interact, and thanks to your readers, your investors for the interest in the company. We're here. Please reach out.
Take care.